Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, thank you for being here, for allowing us to come into your presence, for making it possible through Christ to do so. Now may the Spirit give us the wisdom, make our hard hearts soften, may our blind eyes seeing, and make our ears attentive, not to that which I would say, but to what the Spirit says, using your word in our lives. We pray this in your name.
Amen.
Well, last week, the bishop talked about needing to rest. And I'm going to go back to that same passage and look at what caused Jesus, who was truly fatigued, to come back into service. Why did he break his rest? And what led him to break his rest is in verse 34 of Mark 6, when he said, "And he went ashore, and he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them." And here's where I'd like to focus for the morning. "Because they were like sheep without a shepherd." And he began to teach them many things. I want to look in a brief way at what good is a shepherd. I taught a class a week or so ago about this topic, and I asked them, and I've asked others, and I'll ask you. Even though we've seen stained glass windows, and we've heard books, and we've sung songs, and we know all about Jesus and God being our shepherd, how many of you have ever actually known a shepherd? It's interesting. I think in 34 years of pastoring, I remember one or two people that responded that they had, and I think one of those were lying, so I don't know if any of them really have. And it's interesting to me that something so important to our faith, we don't have any firsthand knowledge about. So I set out on a study of learning about shepherds and learning about sheep, and I've got books I can tell you about afterwards if you're interested in pursuing this. But I want to talk about what drove Jesus' compassion that these sheep didn't have a shepherd. And I'm going to center it around four thoughts briefly this morning. The first thing is a sheep without a shepherd cannot find their way. Sheep without a shepherd cannot find their way. They're lost. How many of you have heard that sheep are dumb animals, that they're not very smart? Well, actually, I learned in my research that that's a misnomer, or it's actually a correct assumption from a Western mindset, because us Westerners tend to be too much like cowboys, and Westerners think that when animals need to move from point A to point B, like cattle, how do we get cattle from point A to point B? We drive them. We get behind them and we push them. But what the truth of the matter is, if you get behind sheep and try to drive them, they'll scatter. They'll go their own way. They get lost. It's not that they're dumb. It's that they don't respond to being driven. In other words, shepherds need to be led. They need to be led. The psalmist prayed in that most famous of psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He
leadeth me."
He leadeth me. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't get behind us and tell us what we should do. He gets in front of us and provides the way. He is the way. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12 that we are to get our eyes on Jesus, and it says he is the author and finisher of our faith. The word there in the Greek for author could be and probably should be translated pioneer. The one that goes first. The one that we follow. Now, some of us like to be in charge. Some of us don't like to be in charge. There are, by temperament, leaders and followers, and that's fine. But when it comes to following Jesus, as sheep should do, what's the advantages of following? What's the advantages of following? Leaders don't like to follow. Some of us, by temperament, just want to go out on our own way, but there are a lot of responsibilities for that, isn't there? There are a lot of prices that come. There's that old adage about being on a dog sled, that there are certain advantages to being the front dog because the scenery changes. For all the other dogs, the scenery is about the same the whole way. But there's advantages when the scenery doesn't change. See, if I'm the pioneer, I have to keep abreast of everything that's going on. If I'm going first, if I'm in charge of my life, it's my responsibility to do all the demographics, to run all the numbers, to make sure it all works. And you understand the fatigue that comes from that. You understand how you feel lost. You feel overwhelmed when you feel that you've got to make your life work. That's what you have to do when you don't have a shepherd. You're on your own. You scatter about. You've run from here to there trying to make this work. Where Jesus said, follow me. And as sheep, not being driven, but being led, our task then becomes extremely easy. All we have to do is watch the shepherd. All we have to do is follow the shepherd and trust that even though the details and the problems and the naysayers are all beside us and we sort of hear it, we're not focused on it. The picture of that is Peter when he was called outside the boat. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter said what all the other disciples wanted to say, that looks pretty cool, can I do it? He says, come on. And it worked as long as he looked at the shepherd. But when his eyes averted and he started to see how big the wave is, like, oh my, what did I get into? And it started to sink. And where did his salvation come? Did the waves die down? No, he refocused and he followed. See, he didn't come to give us a formula for living life. He came to be a friend, to walk with us through life. He didn't give us directions. He gave us a spirit who doesn't give us a set of orders and drives us, a spirit who leads us. And without a shepherd, we don't have that. We're lost. Second thing I learned is that sheep without a shepherd cannot find pasture or food. They're hungry. If you look in Mark 6, 7, and 8, Mark uses the word bread 17 times. 17 times it's talked about being hungry. And I shared that I learned a word through this that I think I had heard before, but I needed to be reminded. You ever heard of the word hangry? Do you know what it is to be hangry? It's when you're hungry to the point of being angry. Or let me ask this, you may not know the word, but have you known anyone that gets mighty irritable when they don't get fed? I think that sheep without a shepherd, they don't get fed. And they get angry. The prophet Amos said, behold, the days are coming where there will be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of the word. People are hungry. You run into people that are angry and you really can't understand why. They can't even tell you why, but they're just angry. Jesus looked upon sheep without a shepherd and he had compassion because he knew without a shepherd they were going to be hungry to the point of anger and not know where to find food. They'll run to one thing or another and it doesn't provide. Jesus says in John 6 that I am the bread that satisfies. He says in Matthew 4:4 that woman can't just live by physical bread, but we need every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. The early church had a diet. They had a a diet. Every time they got together, we're told there are four things they feasted on in Acts 2:42. When they got together, they feasted on the apostles' teaching. They didn't invent it. They didn't change it. They didn't, as I was talking with Joe earlier, they didn't change the rules. They didn't come up with a better way of doing it. They followed the apostles' teaching. They said the prayers, which the definitive article is in front of it, meaning they prayed the prayers that the church prayed. They had fellowship with one another, and they came to the table. They came to the table. I don't want to be too autobiographical, but have you ever had just really weeks sometimes that have been tough? Just, you felt like the opposite of Midas? That everything you touched just wasn't gold. I had a week like that. It just, some major things, some minor things. I just had a week that I really don't want to repeat. And it hit me, and I'm not going to blame it all on this. I'm going to blame most of it on this. I didn't come to the table. I didn't come to the table. It's been 2 weeks since I've been at the table to hear the word, to receive the word. And I got hangry. I'm going to invite you a little bit to the table. Because the sheep, we know where the food is found. Third thing I want to say is that not only that sheep without a shepherd are lost, and not only are they hungry, sheep without a shepherd are in danger. They're vulnerable. They're in danger. See, a shepherd protects the sheep. Sheep are not vicious animals. And they have three main threats. They had rocky terrain. They had robbers who would come and steal them. And they had wild animals that would come. And what would they would do, and you see this in John 10. You remember in John 10, Jesus says, "I am the great shepherd." It's also in that passage that he says, "I am the door to the sheepfold." Well, if you go back and look, and if you think about it, shepherds were not like cattlemen who would go and drive from ranch to ranch, or they had a designated area. Shepherds were nomadic, meaning that they would wander from basically pasture to pasture because there's not a lot of grass that grows. The shepherd needs to know where to take the sheep. But they would wander. They were nomadic. Well, have you ever thought about it? At the end of the day, did the shepherd build a fence? Did he haul a galvanized gate around so that at the end of each day they could reestablish it? No, what they would do is they would find natural outcroppings that would be a circle or a square, or something roughly that would contain the sheep. But once he got the sheep in there, he had no gate. He had no way of protecting. Well, what's going to keep another wild animal from coming in and having a real lamb feast? What's going to keep a robber to come in and steal these sheep and take them to market? I have no gate. So what the good shepherd would do was lay his body in the opening. And literally, that good shepherd in protecting his sheep would say, "You will get to my sheep over my dead body." And Jesus Christ says that to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. That he says, if you get to Sally, if you get to Joe, if you get to Robin, if you get to Mark, you're going to come through me. I protect them. I hold them dear. And then the final thing I want to say is that sheep without a shepherd won't rest. Won't rest. See, I talked to the bishop about one of the things. Talked to him about the sermon. And he agrees with me. So I'm just expanding a little bit. He talked about being fatigued. You ever been tired? Sure you have. Fatigue, absolutely you have. What is the opposite of fatigue? Or let me ask it this way. What is the opposite of rest? I'm going to suggest the opposite of rest is not fatigue. The opposite of rest, we ought to know it from English. If you don't have rest, you become what?
Tired.
Tired, but rest less. Right? Rest less. And when we get tired, when we get overly fatigued, we become restless. And we need to have some form of stimulation, some form of aggression, some form of violence to focus. There are individuals, and I would dare say a society, that exists, and sometimes they don't feel alive unless they're engaged in conflict. Some of you may know individuals like this that don't feel alive unless there's something to get the blood rolling. Because the opposite of rest is not being fatigued, the opposite of rest is being restless. I've done some research about this, and I came across a movie. I still haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's one that I should or not. But the several articles kept making reference to a book, a movie they said that was quite before its time. It was done in 1999. And it has, I forget the actor. The one that played, it doesn't matter. Tom Hanks or somebody. But that's haunting me. I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, the movie was in 1999. It's called The Fight Club. Any of you seen that movie? The Fight Club. And it's a movie about a guy who is just a meek, mild person, and he meets a guy who's the main character. He was the son that died in A River Runs Through. That kid. Brad Pitt. That was close. Tom Hanks, Brad Pitt. They're all Brad Pitt. And this Brad Pitt's one of these people that is restless. And he's gathered around him and actually started a club of people that basically just got together to fight. To duke it out. Not so much because they were angry, not so much because they wanted to win. It was more they just were restless. And as I was researching this thought, I came across a quote that Tyler, the main character, the Brad Pitt character in The Fight Club, he stated this, and I thought, this really sums up sheep without shepherd. This really sums up most of what you see on television. This really sums up most of what you hear in families and communities. This is really powerful. Now, I will say, I'm going to clean it up. And you may know where. But I quote from Tyler in The Fight Club. "Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see squandering. Darn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertisers have told us that chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy stuff we don't need. We're the middle children of history. We have no purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'll all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. We won't. And we're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very ticked off." And I thought, what a perfect picture of sheep without shepherd. Everything that they've been told, they're learning, is a lie. every pasture that they've ever been led to, they're restless. We read in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. He maketh me lie down." He makes me lie down. Against my desire to be raging, against my desire to, out of the depression of being lied to by society and so many things in life, and want to fight out. Maybe in very passive and professional ways, but still having this aggression, this restlessness. The shepherd makes me lie down. How do you make a sheep lie down? We've got three turkey vultures and we can't make do anything. I would love to make them lie down for good, but I don't know how to do it yet. How do you make a sheep lie down? Well, I did some research on that. And the bishop had one of the two instruments that a shepherd would use. You remember he had the crozier, the staff. That was used for two reasons. One, it was used to direct the sheep, as the sheep would be going along, largely the dominant leader of the sheep. He would keep the staff sort of gently against the shepherd, the sheep's side, keeping them in line. And God does that through the Word and the Spirit, keeping us in line. And through the office of pastor, keeping us in line. It also had a crook at the end, though he told you the story about a spear. That really wouldn't work on errant sheep. But the crook on the shepherd's staff was used to retrieve wandering sheep. But what happens if a sheep keeps wandering? What happens if a little lamb is learning that it's a lot of fun to leave the flock? That there's some excitement in expressing that restlessness and erring off to danger? Well, what I read is the second instrument was, what does it say in Psalm 23? "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And the rod was an 18 to 20 inch piece of very hard wood that would be used to fight off vicious animals, but it would also be used at times for merciful, protective shepherd to mercifully break the leg of an errant lamb. Understanding that that lamb in its restlessness needed to learn to rest. And that's where we get that beautiful image. You've probably seen it in churches. It's a very famous stained glass of Jesus Christ carrying a lamb. See, then that makes sense. Because I remember sitting watching that at a particular church thinking, why is that shepherd carrying the lamb? I mean, if I'm going to move animals, I'm not going to give any of them an escorted trip. Why is the shepherd carrying the lamb? How does he carry all of them? But then when you wonder, no, he's carrying the lamb. Not all the lambs. Not all the sheep. But he's carrying the one that he had to make rest. He's carrying the one that he had to instruct that it's dangerous to stray off. And he carries him close to his bosom. See, some of us can be errant sheep. Some of us in our thinking, in our behavior, some of us know as we look back, there are times where we were made to rest. And sometimes we bucked against that. Sometimes we thought it was unfair. Sometimes we thought it was painful. Sometimes we thought, why me and not all the other sheep? Why can all the other sheep go playing and I have to be close to your breast? Being carried. And what Jesus Christ, who saw lamb, sheep without a shepherd, knew and moved him to compassion, is that the only joy in life, the only power in life,
The only true life is in surrendering and following the shepherd. Surrendering and following the shepherd. As we look back upon our lives, we can see that God has a great way of bringing us close. And He only calls for one thing from us. He calls for us to be attentive. Because if you're following a sheep, if you're following a shepherd, all you need to do is be attentive, right? But attention, what term do we use usually in front of attention? If I say to someone, a child or a sheep or a student who is not focusing upon me, what will I say to that person? You need to pay attention. See, brothers and sisters, we are actively called. It is a cost involved to focus, to pay attention. We can choose to not. We can float through life. We can float through worship services. We can float through all that we do. We can sleepwalk. And at the end of the day, we'll have a funeral, and no one really will know one way or the other, because real life never happened. We follow. But we follow one into the future, that as we look back, we know that all along the way, He has led us like a good shepherd. So now we give Him the attention as we go forth into the future. Amen. Spirit clothed in mortal.
And so we gladly render to you the praise of your glory, joining the company of heaven in the everlasting song.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Revealing God, in your Son you feed the multitudes and showed your power to turn the water of our existence into the wine of eternal life with you. Strengthen your people through your Holy Spirit that they may be rooted and grounded in love. As your Son held the loaves and through them made his glory known, send down your Spirit on this bread and on this wine that they may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Glorious God, in Christ you disclose the breadth and length and height and depth of a love that surpasses knowledge. You came across us toward the rough sea of our anxiety and in the nighttime of our fears, and counsel us to be not afraid. Walk alongside any who experience deep hunger and know not where to turn. Bless those who have been deeply betrayed and who live with the consequences of another's ruthlessness or conspiring. Stretch out your hand to all who search for someone's trust. To you who by the power at work within us are able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever. Amen.
The gift of God, broken for the people of God.